In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My brethren, you might have noticed that the Gospel for today does not start with the usual words, in illo tempore, at that time. It may appear to be a small detail, but in fact, it's not. This omission has a very profound reason to be. So the Church did not want to start the Gospel today with the customary words in illo tempore. Because on this day, the Church intends to stress the historical reality of the mystery of the Incarnation of the Son of God. We know when he came, in a very precise time in history. And we count the years starting with this great historical event, the birth of the Lord. 2022 years since the birth of Christ. In this way, my brethren, the mystery of the Incarnation is not a fable. It's not a myth or a kind of magical legend, just like the Lord of the Rings. No. The mystery of the Incarnation, the coming of the Lord, his birth, his life, his death and resurrection are real. It's all true. So the first thing to keep in mind during this time is that we are celebrating a historical event, the birth of the Savior, Jesus Christ. And his birth was foretold by God to our first parents in paradise. After the fall, God did not forsake mankind, but instead, he revealed his infinite mercy by making a solemn promise to Adam and Eve, and to each one of us. A promise that the devil was not to have the final word over his creation. A promise that he would send us a Savior. In the book of Genesis, chapter 3, verse 15, we have what we call the Proto-Evangelium, or the first gospel. It is, in fact, the first time that we hear the divine promise concerning the Redeemer. Speaking to the serpent, God said, "I will put enmities between thee and the woman. I will put enmities between thee and the woman, and thy seed and her seed. She shall crush thy head, and thou shalt lie in wait for her heel." So first of all, God promised a new woman who, unlike Eve, would not fall under the power of the serpent. And God promised a new man who would be the offspring of that woman. And he was coming, who was coming to destroy the empire of Satan. And this promise concerning the birth of the Savior was always the consolation and the hope of Israel. So since Adam and Eve, since the beginning of humanity, we were waiting for the accomplishment of this promise. So in this way, the faith in Jesus Christ is not something completely new. Today we have faith in the Christ who came. But the patriarchs and the prophets and all the just of the Old Testament, they had faith in the Christ who was to come. And this is the same faith. And that's why we can say that all the just of the Old Testament belonged spiritually to the Catholic Church because of their faith in Jesus Christ our Lord. So all the patriarchs and prophets announced the Savior, and they gave more and more details concerning his coming. The prophet Isaiah said that the mother of the Messiah would be a virgin, and that the Savior would be God himself with us, Emmanuel. The patriarch Jacob said that the Messiah would come from the tribe of Judah, and the prophet Jeremiah said that he would be from the house of David. The prophet Micah even announced the place of his birth, Bethlehem. And the time for these things to happen was not completely unknown. The prophet Malachi foresaw that the Lord would come and visit the temple of Jerusalem. And the prophet Haggai said that it would be the second temple, which was rebuilt after the exile. And all of that would happen during a pagan domination over the land. So after 4,000 years of expectation, since that first promise to Adam and Eve, it finally arrived the time for the Savior to come. We read in the Gospel of St. Luke, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man named Joseph from the house of David. And the name of the virgin was Mary. And the angel being come in said unto her, Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of David his father. And he shall reign in the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. So here we have the fulfillment of all the old prophecies. A woman, a virgin, will bring forth a child who will be called the Son of God, God Himself with us. The virgin belonged to the house of David, to the tribe of Judah. Israel was indeed under the domination of the Romans. And the second temple of Jerusalem was still in place. And it's important to realize that this second temple was destroyed in the year 70 after Christ, which shows clearly that the Messiah had already come. So everything seems fulfilled. But here we have a little problem, we could say. The Messiah had to be born in Bethlehem, but Mary lived in Nazareth. And we can contemplate in this the power of God's providence, guiding everything, every little detail, using even the wicked for the accomplishment of His divine plan. It's written that in those days, there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that the whole world should be enrolled. And all went to be enrolled, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, to be enrolled with Mary, his espoused wife, who was pregnant. And when they were there in Bethlehem, her days were accomplished, that she should give birth to the child. So we see that all the prophecies were accomplished in the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is truly the promised Savior. He is the Messiah. So the coming of the Lord that we celebrate at Christmas is not a fairy tale. It's not a cute story for people who do not have anything else to do. No. But the birth of Christ is pure reality. Yes, the Eternal One entered into history. And we know when. And we know where. So during these holy days, my brethren, let us have in mind what we celebrate. The accomplishment of the promises of God. The birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God made man. In the midst of so many things that society tries to find in order to replace our Lord during Christmas, let us not forget the true meaning of these celebrations. Let us not lose sight of the reality of the incarnation. That's what it's all about. Christmas is beautiful. That's true. But most importantly, Christmas is real. So when you kneel down before the crib of your Savior, in order to contemplate the mystery of God made man, consider the immense love of God for you. This love that made him come down from heaven to earth. The love that made him die on the cross for your salvation. Consider this love of God for you. But I would also like to invite you to ask yourself, if you have been faithful to God as you should. Please take a look at your life and see the ways in which you have been unfaithful to Him. And make your resolutions to repay His love with your love, His fidelity with your fidelity, not holding anything back. He loves us for real. So why our love for Him has to be a joke? It cannot be a joke. Christmas is a feast of salvation and must be celebrated above all in a spiritual manner, with a good confession, with a good communion, with prayer and thanksgiving for this tremendous love of God for us. In order to save us, His slaves, He gave His only begotten Son. So may our hearts be a manger worthy to receive Him. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.